Hi, my name is Esther Snickers and I'm the founder of CISO. CISO is a global platform where you can find a facilitator for a constellation in your area or online. In this podcast, At the Kitchen Table With, you get to know facilitators. They talk about their background and the wonderful work they do. Hello, welcome, Sita. And I'm very curious how you pronounce your last name.
Well, hello, Esther, and thank you for having me here. My last name is pronounced Tulia Hikayo.
Wow, beautiful. But I have to practice on your name. So I stay with Sita.
Okay. Well, here's a tip. It's actually pronounced phonetically.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you just break it up into little portions, Tulia Hikayo.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
My pleasure.
You're calling from England?
Yes, I'm in London and it's a beautiful grey day.
Grey day, yeah. Well, and I'm calling from Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and it's also grey day today.
Well, I love your city. I went there for the first time. I think actually it was the weekend that Bert died. I was on a barge in the middle of your city, Amsterdam.
Yeah. All the big cities and all the countries all have their own beauty and differences. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's start with the first question, because I'm very curious when you find out about constellation, when was the moment that you start with constellation or did a constellation?
Goodness. Well, there are so many places to start that story. So I'll start probably about three quarters of the way through. Some might say by chance. But there was a therapist that I was seeing in London because I couldn't speak. I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to do talking therapy. So I had a year of this therapy called Shen, moving energy around the body. And one day I started to speak and he said, good, I think you're ready now to discover systemic family constellations. So he sent me an email with a list of the practitioners in London. And he put little notes, so it wasn't completely non-bias, but in the right way, I found the right place to enter and start. So I went to my first ever constellation in end of 2009, 2010 with Judith Henning. And it felt to me like I had come home to something that I always knew and had been familiar to me in my family growing up, a way of seeing, but somehow the constellation work gave a sort of legitimacy and validity to that which cannot be explained through words alone. It was very much a feeling, and I was really touched by the power of a woman holding this space. And within a year, I was at a training camp with Bert, and I haven't looked back since.
It caught you, yeah.
Totally got me. It opened its arms, it wrapped them around me, it enveloped me, and it presented me with truths, some of which were rather challenging and some of which were easier to digest, but I like to be challenged, and I guess I'm of the archetype that is rather passionate about truth and reality, and that really touched me in a way that I hadn't really discovered before outside the realm of my family and my culture.
Wow. And from that moment, what made that you turned your maybe working career around that you decided to, or was that not the moment in your life?
Yeah, it had happened before. I had been living in the States for about 13 years, and there came a couple of big traumas whilst I was living in California, which was September the 11th, and followed by the Gulf War. And this was a real powerful sea change in experience. And, you know, America, as we know, is prone to a lot of crises. It's a new and young country still forming, but it also landed on my own unresolved traumas. And so I changed career and had already started to train as a hypnotherapist, having left the big fancy world of fashion, entertainment, and music, which is very glamorous and very dance-setty and super cool. But where you have a lot of creative people, you also find a lot of trauma. And that was where I had been swimming, and it felt time for me to change to a different sea. Yeah. So I trained as a hypnotherapist, moved back to England, started doing some work on myself. I wasn't really drawn to talking therapies, which is why I liked to be a hypnotherapist. I did the talking and the client could receive. And the day I was able to actually start talking about my own experiences, was the day the therapist who'd been working with me suggested that I might find constellation work appealing. And I
Interesting.
Yeah. I think there is, I had trained as an actress when I was younger, and I saw this similarity, not as psychodrama, but the similarity between Sanford Meisner, who is, as actors, you speak truthfully in the moment, not as the script dictates. And this creates a different energy. And similarly, it seemed to me on first contact that Constellations was bringing up this truth in the moment rather than what the representative might think or want it to be. And that I found really something I could connect with and engage with.
Yeah, the truth in the moment. There's some beautiful sentence.
Yeah. So at first, really, I, like probably many other people, came to Constellations for my own personal work. And somewhere on the along the line, that changed. Because, and I think the change was I knew, and I know with hypnotherapy, you can do wonderful, incredible things, and you can start to feel kind of big and quite powerful. But there's still a limit, there was still a wall. And it seemed to me that Constellations was the key to the door to move past this, how do you say, invisible wall. By understanding, it formalized formulated an understanding that I knew, but I couldn't explain. And I didn't want to be the barroom psychic, which is how I think many of us have been before we've discovered the work. It felt to me it needed some depth and weight, and Constellations provided that.
Yeah. And how do you describe the, what's for you the magic of Constellation? If you can talk about magic, but what I give you some moment, but for me is that I can understand it, but I can also feel it. Somehow you feel the penny drop. So it's really, it's clicking.
It creates a space in which we can be fearless in the face of truth.
Can you say that again? I think it's beautiful.
It creates a space in which we can be fearless in the face of truth.
Beautiful.
You know, in my practice, I work with some people who have quite difficult trauma, particularly racism. and to really address this trauma. I know even from my own experience, there are some truths that really need to be faced. And I know if we were just walking down the street or having a conversation on the TV or reading it in a newspaper, if these truths were presented, there would be a very strong reaction. But I see in my work with these clients, and also again from my own personal experience, that something very strong can be presented and they can accept it. They can see it. And it also is sort of almost a relief to no longer hide behind the non-truth.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. And I think the acceptance is very important, but I also think that, yeah, I don't know, if we have to open up this topic issues.
It's a delicate process, but it's also quite strong.
Yeah. Well, I saw some constellations, and it were large constellations I don't know how to pronounce it in English, Suriname, it's called in Dutch. Mm-hmm. It was very beautiful, very beautiful to see, and very touching and very relieving, relief. There was a lot of relief afterwards.
It's like a weight around the ankle is removed.
Mm-hmm. So do you work especially with racism or trauma, or is that the topics that people come to you, or is it, is it more?
I suppose in one sense I work with anything. I'm not trained as a psychotherapist. I am trained as a hypnotherapist, and I've done a lot of training in systemic constellations. Most of it has been taught to me by psychotherapists. I'm from a particular field, which is the arts and creativity. So most of my clients are coming from that space. And as I mentioned, I think earlier, that the creative world is a beautiful haven for people with a lot of trauma, because the natural expression of trauma is drive and discipline and creativity. Fantastic, beautiful pieces of art and fashion and music created from the most profound trauma. So that's mostly where my clients come from. And they come from all cultures. I would say there's more people from Africa and the Caribbean starting to come now. Because they can sense there's a difference in the way that I work compared to psychotherapy or other forms of therapy. So I'm holding the trauma. I look like them, which always helps. And I'm multilingual in, you know, the languages of our culture in English. You know, we have code and we have English and we have street English and and I suppose in some ways that is helpful. I'm not so different, but mm-hmm. I'm not so much the same that it doesn't feel like something different is possible.
Yeah. And what did constellations did for you? If you look back, the point where you are now, and if you look back, what brought constellations you in your personal life?
Oh, well, I'm a child of divorce.
Okay.
Which is quite a profound trauma. So my father was absent from the age of 5. And I think a year to the day that I did a constellation for my dad, I found him. That was 40 years after I'd last seen him. And I guess in some ways that for me was the convincer, because I'd always been looking, but I had been looking in a particular way, holding a certain belief in my heart. And when the belief shifted, it was quite a palpable moment where the constellation settles and arrives in the heart. In that moment, I opened my computer, and for the first time, there was his name on the top of a Google search. And I called him. And in meeting him, at the time I was living in Sweden and he was in London, so I flew back to London to meet him. I invited my mother to come along. And then the second moment that you see in the constellation was, oh my God, they were really in love with each other. And they still are. Silly me.
Wow.
No, they're not back together again, but for the child to see their parents holding hands and smiling each other, not just in the constellation, but for the constellation to bring it into reality, is a powerful movement.
Really?
And
powerful.
6 weeks after that, my father took me to his country for the first time. And just arriving in the country of my father's birth, it was like everything just, because in our culture, the child, it's funny because in my mother's culture, the child belongs to the mother. And in my father's culture, the child belongs to the father.
Can you explain the cultures? Because I'm not sure if your mother is from?
My mother's from Barbados in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So the culture predominantly was taken from, those people predominantly taken from West Africa,
mm-hmm.
which tends to be more matriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
And who dominates the family system, and the men produce children, but they don't necessarily stay.
Yeah.
My father is from East Africa, and he's from a very particular tribe, which, although patriarchal, is generally more, how do you say, equal between the genders.
Mm-hmm.
Dating back to 900 BC, they have been this way. And so the child belongs to the father who is the firstborn, because that child, female or male, becomes the next firstborn, who is the next elder of the clan.
Yes, that's the difference.
So in many ways, I suppose returning to my father's country with him settled an order for that system that had been missing. Because often we forget that we tend to just look at Black people all as one group who are all the same. But there are thousands of ethnic groups with thousands of their own. In my father's country alone, there are 53 different languages. And there's very intricate order of that culture, which is completely different to my mother's culture.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I belong to both in different ways.
Yeah. So when that was settled down, then you were able to live your own life more? Can you pronounce it like that? Or
yeah, I was, it felt a combination of being liberated from something,
mm-hmm.
And in my true right place, in my belonging to that clan specifically. I'm an only child. But what I didn't find out until the number of years later, as I started to explore history, was, and the DNA, is that my mother's ancestors come from the same place as my father's ancestors. My father's ancestors sold slaves.
Mm.
So in some way, my parents' marriage was restoring an ancient order that was blind to me. But it felt, once I understood that, it was, in some ways, some will say, oh, how complicated and difficult. But actually, for me, it feels like a relief and a privilege to know I'm descended from perpetrators and victims. It certainly keeps me in check.
Well, there's some balance. There is some balance.
Yeah. Well, imbalance or balance, because yeah. Understanding the cultural differences and why they come about and the normalcy gives one a different understanding. There's no more need to judge it. Not for me. There's no point. That would be
mm-hmm.
Destructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it ended that confusion.
Wow. And with that, you bring a lot of good work to your clients, I think, because this is really, wow, you sorted out your own base, your own life, and that makes, you bring that to your clients. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know
if I explain
it well in English, but I think that's one way or another, it's somehow also a gift for your clients. If you,
I hope so. I would like to think so.
Yeah.
And it certainly makes it for me easier when I am facilitating to feel which side, which belief, which system is pulling or pushing me one way or the other. It really encourages me to keep that in check.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And Sita, do you work one-to-one or do you work also with groups?
So I work one-to-one. I work with groups. I prefer working, because of the way that I work and because of my instrument, I prefer working with groups in person. So I didn't switch to doing groups online when the pandemic started. I had already started, similar to you, the switch to working online one-to-one because many of my clients travel and they want to have the regular contact whilst they're working overseas. So I started on Skype and switched to Zoom when Zoom became the new hit. Thing. And I do one-to-one, I do couples, and I work with organizations.
Okay. Also yeah. Organizations. Because that's different, right?
Working with organizations?
Yes.
Yeah, it is different. But interestingly, the organizations that have come to me have kind of come in the wave of the BLM, Black Lives Matter, thinking that, oh, well, we'll do, as a lot of people do, the diversity thing. We'll have a Black person work on diversity issues. And then we look and it's like, well, actually, your history is connected to this particular historical trauma, and this is why you're experiencing these feelings of guilt and shame and so on and so forth in the organization. So that's been really interesting, because it's kind of within the personal realm, but the team. So I'm working kind of almost like a workshop with the team on the personal in the context of the second dimension.
Yeah, and that's also, always with organization, you think it's really different because more business-wise, but it all all the time it comes back to the personal matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And I like having this mixture.
Yeah.
You know, because I think I would perhaps, it's a new challenge and it constantly is inviting you to think a new way, and then it's bouncing back and informing how you work in the personal way and so on and so forth. So this movement keeps me alive and on my toes.
Yeah, yeah. And you only work in London, or do you travel?
Well, just before in 2018, 2019, I'd started to travel because I created and designed workshops really to start working with. So in America, they have a large Caribbean community, but the impact of slavery on descendants from the Caribbean is very different from the impact of slavery on the descendants of African descendants of slavery and living in America, who are a different group. The trauma manifests in a different way. So I had started to travel to work with the Caribbean community in America.
Yeah.
And it was really, really beautiful and invigorating because, you know, it was returning to a country that I am familiar with living in a new particular way, almost as if the resolution has taken me through back to where the trauma first surfaced.
Mm.
And then also I have ancestral connections to Italy. So I was starting to do some lovely retreats there. And then suddenly the gates came down. So yeah. We have a pause. And mm-hmm. the chance to reflect and look forward to seeing what 22 might offer. I haven't read the terms and conditions yet, but I'm hoping it's better than last year.
Yeah. But the US is beautiful because there are systemic facilitators, but it's not that famous, or if famous is maybe not a good word, but here in Europe, it's more well-known constellation than in the US.
Yes. Yes. Particularly in the realm of the arts. I mean, I think that's starting to change now because Gwyneth Paltrow has done Netflix series about systemic works, and all of a sudden I suspect there's going to be a new trend for systemic constellations. We'll see. I think that can be like anything interesting to watch and observe. And then in some ways it feels, even as I started to go into the US with this work, to slightly shift the presentation, because some people will look at an apple and think, I don't want to take a bite, but you turn the apple and show a different side, that, oh, I really want some of that. So I think the pause perhaps has some benefits. It's an opportunity to slightly reassess presentation, to broaden reach, which for me feels valuable and essential.
Yeah.
It's a little bit elite at the moment. And it would be nice to see it become not necessarily diluted, but a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do you educate people, facilitators?
Somehow,
I don't know why, but this question came up, and I see the beautiful work, and yeah.
Well, not yet, but I plan to this year. I'm going to do a beautiful training with the Centre for Systemic Constellations, which is a foundational school in the United Kingdom. I went through all of their training, and one of the things I really admire is the quality of their teaching is excellent. I mean, it's it's flawless. You will learn that what they offer you is pretty much everything that you need, and any extras you can just leave it. So it feels to me that would be a wonderful place for me to learn how to teach this work well, or in a way that suits how I've been mostly taught.
One advice, just be yourself, then it's all good.
Yeah, I struggle to be really anybody else but myself. I've tried to contain myself, but I've tried to be other things. I'm like,
no, this is
it. Yeah, you know, it's and I think it's a feature of the culture that I'm, and the history of the culture that I'm from. We are not to be anything other than purely who we are, and be very comfortable with that.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, and let me know, because then I put it on the agenda of CISO.
And well, that would be wonderful. I will do, for sure. Yeah.
And Sita, do you use music in constellation? You see more and more. Well, what I see now, more and more people are using music when there is a moment
it's interesting, because I use music for myself, for my own spirit soul instrument to tune in or connect.
Mm-hmm.
Because day-to-day life can kind of throw you off, or something happens, and to kind of recenter and ground, for me, music has always been essential. The music that I play in my head when I start a group coming together is, strangely and interestingly, it's a beautiful piece of music that often brings tears to my eyes, and I first heard it at training camp, which is Pie Jesu.
I don't know. Sorry.
Well,
I
don't know. It's probably about one of the, it's very Christian.
Okay. Mind, I don't mind. But I'm not.
The association with the music, and the association with Bert and this particular space, in Bad Reichenhall, where he would teach, has a kind of way of bringing you into presence with the field in a very particular way at the moment, where I came into an acceptance that everything has a right to exist.
Yeah. I'm very curious what song now.
Well, I will send you a link. I have two versions on my Spotify daily playlist. I'll send you my favorite version, and it's sung by a quite well-known British opera singer. And it has quite a lovely quality. But other than that, I suppose it's funny, because I was saying to my husband the other day that a lot of the black music that I listen to is particularly soulful. And I said to him, it's really interesting, because supposedly we're from this terrible trauma, but outside of hip hop and rap, all our music is so soft. You would think nothing terrible had happened in the past.
You do beautiful work, really, and especially with the smile with it. That's good, because we live now, and we have to go on.
When I work my clients, I use, probably because of this part of myself I can't suppress, humor naturally comes up, often when it's painful, because tears and laughter can release this valve.
Yeah.
And I think maybe something I learned along the way, that shocking, when we shock with the truth after with a no, or something that's from more everyday life, it meets the harsh and the tender at the same moment. And a smile can do the same thing. And we think that we smile actually to say, stay away. But it's actually from war. It's wonderful that it's something that we can receive so warmly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I want to finish with the words that everything and everybody has a place to exist. That was what I think that
everyone.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you very, very much for this conversation.
Well, Esther, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here, and every step I overcome my shyness. So I am grateful to you for that as well.
Oh, and I want to ask you a lot of more questions, and maybe I can see you someday in person somewhere. Because I want to travel more, and I want to record the postcard at the kitchen table with the facilitators. That's my dream. But now we have to do it like this. But I'm glad I met you. Mm-hmm. And let's stay in contact. And I will follow you, what you will do. And if you have events, tell me. Then I can put it on the CISO agenda.
Okay. Well, I'm doing something with Jan Jakob on the 19th of February. Awakening the Field. I will be doing a masterclass on slavery, racism, and colonization. So if this comes out before then, I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a wonderful congress that he's put together, and a nice movement into 2022. We bring some.
Okay, let's do with information and.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and have a lovely great day.
The same to you. Thank you. All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you want to book a constellation, or if you want to participate in an event, go to the website www.ciso.com. And finally, if you are a facilitator and want to record a podcast with me, or you know a facilitator who is suitable for this podcast, please send a message to info@ciso.com. Have a nice day.